Hello and welcome to Go Mode, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I'm Dante.
And I'm Herfy Durfy.
And today's special guest host is the one and only Error Roar. How you doing, man?
Yo, I'm doing great. No complaints here. Just living the best life.
That's living very good to hear.
His best life. So speaking of living your best life, I got to ask, how has racing A Link to the Past Randomizer competitively, the retirement, how's that been treating you?
Not having any tournament stress anymore is the best feeling ever. The past month or so, I've slowly been weeding my way back in. I've done a couple like pickup races, a couple of pilot supporter log races. Those have been mm-hmm. a lot of fun. I'm not really interested in tourneys still. I think that's kind of behind me. But yeah, I mean, I still wanted to be involved with the rando scene.
Yeah.
And, like, doing a couple mm-hmm. of seats here and there. Like, I've been playing rando. That's not a secret. But mm-hmm. yeah, like the actual big racing with stakes, that's definitely... I don't miss it. It's been fun watching tournaments, like restreaming a couple races here and there, like following how everything's been going. And I mean, that's definitely never stopped.
For sure.
Even with like the main tournament not happening this spring and there being like this gap that should have been there, like there's been like five other tournaments that popped up anyway. So
yeah,
there's so much to watch still.
His gap should have been there, but we know how eager this community is. There's a lot of that in this episode, probably, if you've already seen the title. I don't know what I'm titling it, but it's probably going to have something to do with tournaments because there's a bunch of them again. Mm-hmm. But I'm always excited to see Ari playing Rando. I'm excited to watch him play NMG because I learn from it every time, at least in some way, shape, or form. But I'm glad you're enjoying the game and having a mostly, we'll say, stress-free time with it.
Yeah, for sure. I needed a little bit of a break just from it in general after, of course, what happened with Council at Fastrom mm-hmm. and all that stuff. The love for the game doesn't go away. The love for the community doesn't go away. So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. just interacting more recently has been great.
I'm glad to hear it. Well, speaking of the community and things that were a change in, we have some new changes that we teased last episode. I did not know any of this ever, even though Herf called me out on it. So I'm going to throw it over to our correspondent in the field named Herfy Durfy, who is an actual ladder admin, as I am not, to kind of give us the lowdown on this big ladder-breaking announcement.
The big ladder-breaking announcement, yeah. Duncan made it. He had some fun with the announcements channel on the ladder Discord a couple of days before, and he was really nervous when he... just before we went live, and also kind of during the broadcast, you can kind of notice it if you watch the VOD back. I think it's kind of endearing, but Dunka presented it or announced it as us destroying the ladder. But basically, what's happening is that we've got pretty much the rest of the year almost figured out up until October. Everything is going to stay as it is, as you know, ladder right now. But then in October, the big old change will happen. And instead of doing a lot of 1v1s, you're going to be racing in big groups. I think, you know, that kind of sums it up very nicely. There's a couple other points we have here that I'm going to go through in a little bit. But, you know, changing from a head-to-head race to big group races, I think is pretty interesting. And I remember back when Danko first brought this up to me and we talked about it a little bit, I think one of the first things I said as well, you know, back when you launched the ladder, people kept telling us that we're killing like weeklies and dailies because everyone's just racing ladder and nobody's trying the SG dailies anymore or the weeklies or anything. So mm-hmm. I think it's about time we actually do that. And here we are. what's actually going to happen? Let's go into these points a bit before I get into more trouble than it's worth here. But first of all, Dunka will wipe all the leaderboards, all the lifetime stats and the seasonal stats will go away, but they will, of course, be preserved for history. So you'll still be able to look at them and go through them. And I wouldn't be surprised if he also offers like an API that lets you like download all of them and make like weird graphs or something, whatever you want to do with them. Mm-hmm. Then, as I said, it's going to be group races, one seat per pod. It's pretty much like any bigger group race, you know, or any qualifier of ever race or anything like that. We'll have a little beta period before launch, just like the season zero that we had originally, if you were around for that back then, just to, you know, see if all the technical stuff works, that the bots don't break every time they're supposed to generate a seed, that the schedule works, that every automation step works, basically.
Yeah, that's essential, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It was very good for season zero as well, originally.
Yeah, and I think it was a lot of fun, and we got to iron out some last, or Danka rather, got to iron out some last kinks that were still in there, some stuff that didn't quite work out. And I mean, it's been running pretty stable for 4 years now, except for the, you know, random API or Discord outage, or every now and again, LazyKit gets a little too lazy and just disappears off the face of the earth, and nobody knows what happened until Danka comes back. But it's been running pretty well. So Danka also brought up, first of all, I should have probably mentioned this in the beginning, but there is obviously a VOD of the announcement stream that you can go through.
Yes.
And Danka also linked all the documents on the Ladder Discord and the feedback channel that he opened up. So you can go look at it, everything that we're saying and everything Danka said and prepared. You can go look at that yourself later on. So you don't just have to rely on me regurgitating all the information here.
Yeah, there's been a bit of good discussion already in the channel. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been looking around, and it's been very constructive.
Yeah, I have to say, I was going to get to that at the end here. I have to say, I was pretty surprised with how well everything was received. I mean, I didn't expect everyone to go, boo, you guys suck, everything sucks, burn down the ladder, or anything like that.
One or two of those people. If I'm being 100% honest.
I expect that I want to call it the rando community special, where it's like a pretty 50-50 split of people really hating it and people really loving it, and there's like no in between. But it seemed like the most negative thing. I know there's, you know, you can't make everyone happy. We've said this a million times before, and there's always going to be some people who are not happy about this change, and I can totally understand that, and I totally respect that, you know, there's no slight against them. But overall, I think the most negative thing that I've mainly read is, oh, well, you know, I'm going to miss the head-to-head races, but this sounds like fun. So, you know, mostly it seemed like people are going to miss the 1v1s, but it's not an awful change or anything. People are not going to rage quit the ladder or never come back or anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. They'll probably still rage quit the ladder. That's just part of the ladder, but not because we're changing it.
Personal point today.
Yeah. to go through a couple of the positives that Danka mentioned. One of the big ones is that the odd man out problem goes away. Obviously, you know, it doesn't matter for us if the races are an even number or an odd number of entrants, if it's just one big group race. There will be no more pairing complaints, because whoever joins the race. You can complain that someone good is joining the race, but that's something you'll have to take up with that person that's actually joining the race and not with us. So we don't care.
Yeah,
there will be no more seasons. Danka is still figuring out, or has a couple ideas of how he can do like some sort of follow up to the seasonal champions that we used to have. It'll probably still be mode dependent. So if you race for example, let's say a lot of open and you do very well, you'll get like an open ladder leader spot when you're in the number one spot. And if someone else takes over. Yeah, exactly. It's all going to be automated. So there's not going to be a big problem. And last but not least, even though Danka mentioned many times how low a priority it was for him, but restreams are now a possibility, because, you know, everyone knows who's going to be in the race. There's no more secret opponent. There's no more, oh, you know, you can't know who your opponent is and stuff like that. So I'm surprised he didn't mention that, but I don't know if he would be opposed to this, but I personally wouldn't be opposed to people just throwing together a jank restream or restreaming a race they find interesting if they see something. It doesn't necessarily have to be like an official ALTTPR ladder restream.
Right.
It can just be people who want to restream it can restream it now. So I think that's a pro.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing I want to mention as far as pros go, we're going to have two schedules instead of one. That sounds a little weird, but they're kind of offset from each other, so you never have to wait very long for the next race. And they're going to be overlapping as well, so the complaint about, hey, I mainly play like this mode and it only comes around on ladder every 9 hours or every 4 days for the playable time, That should be alleviated at least a little bit, because with two rotating schedules that have, like, I don't know how many modes in them, like from 7 to 11 modes or something, it should be a lot easier to catch, like, a race of the mode that you prefer now than it was before.
Yeah, and that makes total sense, because I mean, mm-hmm. how many people want to just play casual boots or open or just cross
case? Right, exactly. Yeah. There's plenty of people who, like, only play maybe two or three ladder modes, if even that. Some might mm-hmm. even play only, like, one mode. And if you only want to play one mode, it's probably pretty hard to actually catch a race that's not at, like, 4 a.m. or something weird like that.
Yeah.
It's only going to be once every couple of days.
That should hopefully help with that a little bit.
Yeah.
The ranking system is all homemade and homebrewed by Dunka. I mean, I told him I'm not a numbers guy. I don't know what you're telling me. It looks good to me. And he's made it. I don't want to say he's made it public now, but he definitely is hoping for people to look through it and to kind of comb through it and see if he's made some, you know, big mistake.
Major
calculation error somewhere or something that he didn't account for. So we don't start this and suddenly we have, like, weird old SRL races where everyone is losing points even though people are supposed to be winning them, or someone gets, like, 4,000 points for one race or something crazy like that. So we definitely want to avoid those kind of things.
Yeah, I think that was actually the main points that people have brought up in the feedback mm-hmm. channel, is that there were some small problems with the rating system and, like, how it was very top heavy. And I think Dunka was actually very receptive to the change there, and he's working mm-hmm. on it. That's kind of what I noticed. There was also something about that between, like, with the two racing schedules, that it was also, like, two different branches, or that this, like, a permanent change to the Doors branch. Was that something in the announcement?
I mean, I'm not sure if he has said anything specific about that, but the idea kind of was it's possible to make, like, one of the schedules run on the Door branch and the other schedule we run on, like, the normal standard branch, the V31 that we have now. So we could do that. I'm not sure if that's decided yet, because I feel like it would maybe put us back a little bit into that problem where it's like, well, I want to only race Door modes, or I only want to race standard modes. So you're kind of stuck with one schedule again, right?
Yes and no, I guess.
I mean, it really depends. We're still kind of spitballing the stuff and figuring out what kind of modes we really want to have in there. I think we said in the announcement as well, we kind of want to start a little slow. We definitely want to offer more than we can offer right now in V31, because V31 is really, like, limited as far as new stuff goes. But we don't want to go, like, insanity, pot shuffle, whatever crazy things you can do, right? And everyone's like, oh, what am I even doing in the seed?
No, but you don't need to go all out when you use the Doors branch. Like, there is definitely very, very subtle stuff you can change. And I think mm-hmm. that's the cool part about it, that you are allowing yourself a lot of flexibility. So if Dunka does decide to go that way, I'm definitely very much looking forward to, like, mm-hmm. what weird modes we're cooking up with. Because even right now, like, you have the weird Infrosia, Ambrosi Wanya, all the weird mm-hmm. stuff, the potpourri that we've come up with over the course of the years. And, like, mm-hmm. just kind of going that way sounds like a great way to head with ladder. And you don't have to necessarily go pottery lottery, mobbery, robbery, weird.
Right, at least not 20, you know, right from things. The beginning.
Exactly. Like, Rando is going to evolve anyway. Like, I think we've established mm-hmm. that. Like, stuff is going to change. People will want more complex things gradually. Mm-hmm. Like, if we see what is possible, if people are going to get used to it, I think it's going to happen. And
one thing, when, you know, Dunka, to pull my veil back, Dunka pulled me and Herf into a voice call, and I think Herf just played a video game the whole time because he had already heard it once. But it was really funny, and Dunka just unloads all this on me and, like, asks me to try to shoot holes in it, and I'm like, bro, there were just numbers, like, flying through my head, and I'm like, I'm not smart enough for this. Like, in this moment, like, in this voice call, I'd have to, like, research it. And I mean, I kind of glanced over it and I'm like, man, he had thought all this out so much. And I know there's going to be a flaw, but I don't see it yet. And, you know, obviously with the community kind of pointing some things out and him being receptive, I think that's good. But the idea with this, my biggest question was, so why are we going back group racing? And, you know, the biggest thing was that Doors branch. People want this. Like, people want this badly. Yeah. And when you see generation times, it's not like generating on the regular website. It's much slower. So he was telling me, like, what if we hit a max of 100 people? That's 50 pairs. That's 50 seeds. If the seeds take upwards of, say, you know, a minute to generate, then you're just waiting for forever. You know, generation's gotten better with the Doors branch. So, yeah. You know, that's a plus, but you don't want to have to deal with that. And that's kind of a major, I think a major piece of it too. For me, I'm kind of excited for, you know, I've been casting races. I've actually been having fun doing that. So like maybe doing this later on could be fun if, you know, people are receptive to the jank stream idea, we'll call it. It makes for some exciting things because you could do that with 1v1s with, you know, obviously with permission from folks. But if you do it, you kind of do it as a vodcast more than a live cast because you don't want people to know, hey, I'm restreaming your race. And then you know how to find your opponent. That's always, you know, a little sketchy ground, we'll say.
For sure.
I'm very glad he's making his own ranking system instead of like trying to pull something specific. We know that the SRL stuff doesn't work. We know that the race time stuff is better, but it still doesn't really work. You know, I recorded many a race when Ari was in the main tournament like a couple years ago, and it was like, oh, minus, like he wins and both players have a minus one. Nice. Mm-hmm. You know, so something's not working with that one. Is it a priority for me? No. You know, I know a lot of people really enjoy the race time points and them mattering to people, but they're just whatever as far as I'm concerned.
Number go blue.
I mean, you know, I don't think anyone really cared about SRL points, and I don't really think anyone really cares about race time points. But if you make something competitive like the ladder,
yeah,
you need something that works, right?
In my early days, I cared about SRL points when I got them, and then I found out how it worked, and I was like, oh, that does not really mean that much. So I kind of was like, whatever after that. And I've always kind of been that way. Like do people go look at the leaderboard on like race time and SRL?
I don't know. I was going to say maybe
besides to look at D Will.
I was going to say maybe a better phrasing would have been to say that people don't really care about race time points, but rather that the race time points aren't really a good representation of the community or of the skill of the people that are on there.
That's not true.
You know, diminish anyone's accomplishments that might be on the race time leaderboard top three or whatever, but
I feel so insulted right now.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So, what I'll say about it is that there has been a small... I remember during the council blowups, like there was a small amount of people who were just like, we need seasons on race time. And I was like, huh? Like, this is your biggest concern right now in the middle of all this chaos. This is your concern. But Ladder's kind of giving it to us. And granted, it's not going to be seasons anymore, like you said, but you're going to have like a way to see a competitive race time now, I think. And with points that kind of hopefully makes sense once this is all ironed out. So I'm kind of excited for it. I'm sad to see the old ladder go, but I'm more, the biggest part I'm excited about is seeing two races firing off together, because there's been many a night I've woken up at like 4 a.m. and I've got lucky enough for like 3:50 and it's like, oh, I can hit a casual boot seed like right now. And then I'll just get out of bed and do that. And now there's more opportunity for me to wake up at stupid o'clock and maybe race ladder again, because every time I've been waking up at stupid hours lately, ladder's not firing off or the race has just fired off and there's just been no chance. So
I'm very excited about these changes overall. Like, of course, the fact that 1v1s are going to be less frequent now is a bit of a shame. I think that in current days there are so many tournaments that are kind of rapid fire going off as well that we are not going to miss them as much as we would have in like 2018, 2019, when tournaments just weren't like that prevalent. I really missed the group races in like a 4-year span where they didn't happen as much. Like dailies were pretty dead. Weeklies weren't as big anymore. And also just like in slightly inconvenient times. So in fact, like the chance that we're going to have regular like 10 to 20, 30 plus racers and actually have things like the main tournament qualifiers where you're actually going to have runners be able to compare themselves and just gradually see them improve and rank up higher and higher. I think that's really good. And also that results might feel less binary as well for runners that are at a, like an intermediate level. Like it's a lot easier to see where you've gone wrong, where you're supposed to improve and not feel like, oh, I lost because of, I don't know, but I lost and it just feels bad. Or I won and I don't know why.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's always a big positive too. So it's going to be like main tournament qualifiers all year round.
Yeah, without
the 20 minute delay and people being, but I guess the snark will be there. Who knows?
I will say one thing to what you just said, Ari. I saw someone, unfortunately I forgot who it was. And I also forgot if it was on Twitch chat during the announcement or on the Discord, but someone said, one potential negative thing I can see is someone new coming into the community and taking part in the ladder and constantly getting like a lower or even last place in like a couple of ladder races, one after the other. That might be like a really bad feeling. It might demotivate people and they might not want to race anymore if they like join five ladder races and they place last in every one of them, right? That, that will feel bad. Well, so I think that's kind of a fair point, but at the same time, as you just mentioned, instead of just having one opponent who defeats you and you're like, well, okay, I guess, you know, that was it. You now have like maybe 7 or 9 or 12 opponents where you can all watch the beauty and go like, oh, okay, this guy did this and this guy did this and that's why I lost time here. Or, you know, I think, of course, it feels bad if you always place low in races, but if you manage to overcome that and see it as a learning opportunity, group races give you a much wider and better chance to learn stuff.
Yeah.
And they do.
With a bigger group of people, like especially in like post-race situations, in a 1v1, you don't always have the chance to properly like do a post-seed review of like what happened, what were the big decision points. But in the bigger races, people are so willing to just talk about like routes and what happened, what they did, when and why. And those are really good learning opportunities as well. Not even just only the VOD, like VOD reviews, but also like just chatting. And
yeah, I mean, you know, that's another big difference. After the race is over, there's not going to be like a thread where you and your opponent are in it. And then you can say GG and that's all you ever say. But it's going to be everyone who was in the race and they're all going to be, you know, it's going to be like an RTGG room where everyone just chatting with each other, or like the old SRL rooms on IRC where everyone was just chatting it up. And I think all of that, I'm, as you guys said, I'm pretty excited for this. I really hope it turns out as great as we're imagining it. And I think just from to kind of wrap it up from my side, I think I was expecting a lot more negativity in general, but I think I said this earlier in another Discord that we're also all part of, but I think a lot of the negativity was like warded off by the excitement of people for having the chance to get more door branch stuff into seats now. Just having more opportunities, not having to play the same modes over and over again. And, you know, us like, you know, it's this mode, but with boots now. And it's like, we've seen that like 250 times. Let's find something new. So I think a lot of people are just more excited to get more diversity and weird stuff out of ladder games rather than the 1v1s going away. Because I haven't raced in a very long time, so maybe you can speak better to this. But I feel like as a racer, of course, there's a different mentality how you approach races, like a head-to-head race versus a big group race. Overall, while I'm racing the seed, it kind of makes no real difference to me if I'm racing one opponent or if I'm racing 100 opponents, right? I'm just playing my seed.
I think it matters to people who want
who be good. Value the meta game more, maybe.
I'll admit, like it's always nice, like way back in the day, if you won a weekly, I had mm-hmm. my opportunity to win several weeklies in, you know, like a main tournament qualifier. When you do that, that actually feels really good. Does it mean you're the best? Absolutely not. It just means mm-hmm. you played well and hit the route. Like, that's kind of mm-hmm. the way I look at it. You had a moment of luck and skill all together for that moment mm-hmm. and or for that race. And I guess, like, you know, there's going to be a lot more of that. I think I saw someone say that their comment was, I guess I'll never win a race again. And that's a little deflating to think mm-hmm. about. But at the mm-hmm. same time, you know, not to diminish that, but you know, someone's skill is not, or their enjoyment of the game, I'm hoping, is not mm-hmm. dependent on getting W's. You know, like, if you're playing to win and that's your fun is only in the winning, then mm-hmm. that's a different problem. And you know, we don't have time to go into all that. But I'll admit, winning feels good. We all know this. Like, you know, it's mm-hmm. always you think you have more fun because of like the dopamine hit, like when you win. But, you know, if you enjoy the game for what it is and, you know, the aspect of it, and especially the community aspect of it, I think, then, you know, this is still a very positive thing. And that's all the positives lie inside that, where you can just have tons of fun.
Yeah. Like, I think some people really approach it in a, if I don't get first, it doesn't matter. And mm-hmm. we might see some meta changes in depending on who is in the race and how big the race is, that some people might just act like completely clown mm-hmm. on the race and try to hit the god rounds.
Yeah. And forfeits get punished heavily in this in this formula is what Dunk is touting. Yeah. So I'm for that too. Like, give me a reason to want to play. Like, if I'm not in GT and, you know, if it's not a main tourney qual, like if I'm in GT and I've had a bad seed and it's a group race and I see a dun roll in, like, you know, Am I checked out enough to forfeit? Like, I'd have enough motivation to continue at that point.
Yeah, for sure. But like, sometimes having a bad seed and still ending in like top 20%, that's a great feeling for me. And if I feel that I played really well and had a good round and someone else like finishes like 5 minutes earlier, of course it's gonna sting because you feel like you played well and you deserved it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It doesn't suddenly devalue what you've done. And I think some people might like put a snapshot on like one result a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's definitely, for those people, it's definitely going to be a rough change. And I understand that, but I think mm-hmm. it's mostly like your mentality might need to change in bigger races because you're not going to. There's going to be so many people who can win a race.
I mean, obviously, yeah.
This probably fall like on deaf ears, maybe, but like it's how when I switched from playing like Dance Dance Revolution with 4 arrows to Step Maniacs with 5, like the concept is the same, but you can't go into it with the same mentality that I'm just gonna, you know, be good or something. Mm-hmm. Like that was how I viewed it. So I had to like work at what I had to work on changing the way I played the game. And I think people may have to work on how they play the game now. They may have to change that, you know, instead of just thinking I had one bad instance in the seed, time for a Hail Mary. No, it's kind of like, it's like qualifiers. It's like, okay, just stay on the rails, hold it together, play my game. Don't let me take myself out of my own game. Now, you know, now that I don't have to worry about being, if you're first, you're last. That's if you're not first, you're last. So like, you know, if you have some mistakes and you get third, that seems good, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think people need maybe not to change the way they play the game, but rather I think it really depends on what Ari said earlier too. I think it really depends on how you define winning, because with group mm-hmm. races, and especially in the way that Danka is implementing it now, with group races now, it's not so much, oh, first place is the winner. It's as long as you're in the range of people who get points from this race, you have won the race. You have won points. You are a winner. And if you're losing points, then you can start complaining that you might have lost a race, right? But I don't think you can really see it as, oh, first place is the winner and like last place is the loser or something like that. It really depends on, do I get points from this race? Then it was a net positive. So I, you know, it should be considered a win, so to speak, even if you got like fourth or third or whatever. So I think that's going to probably be a pretty big shift for some people to
yeah,
you know, not feel like, as you guys have said, oh, I didn't get first, so I didn't win this race. It doesn't really matter. The first place obviously gets the most points, so that's a benefit of getting first. But as long as you're getting points, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Very, very wise words from a very wise giraffe. As we wrap up this very lengthy discussion on this super big announcement. So looking forward to that. But you know, maybe I'll have to get a couple more 1v1s in myself on the ladder before it all goes poof. But in other big news, SGL 2024 has been announced publicly. The dates are October 3rd through the 6th. It's going to be in the same place in Herndon, Virginia, a little earlier this year, almost a full month, basically. What do you guys think? Do you like the earlier date, or would you rather have the later date?
I'm excited. I'm super excited. It was very nice, like weather-wise, during the day last year, but the nights sometimes were like bitterly cold. It was oh my god!
You and needed now, a month earlier,
right? You definitely needed them, and even then, it was like kind of not enough. Only sometimes it was very cold, but now I'm hoping a month earlier it might be even nicer during the day, and hopefully a little better during the night. So I'm excited.
In theory, it should be. I mean, I know DC's pretty north of me, but it shouldn't be too cold, I think.
Good.
I personally am very happy we're doing it earlier. Now, that's just me, because I hate November. It's so busy with family and holidays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's a good move on SG's part. Especially with it being in the DC area, you know, there's like the presidential election for this country is this year.
Right.
So like, you know, there's just going to be too much going on. And so I'm excited that we're going to have another one. I'm looking forward to it. I'm planning to be there. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on it. It should work out. Definitely looked at whether I could actually manage to go this year together with ESA in the summer, but yeah, it's all looking good. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody there again this year.
I'm excited to hear that. I'm definitely trying to make it happen as well. Obviously, as I'm saying every year, money is tight, but I got pretty good chances this year, I'd say, even if there's no help incoming. I don't know yet. There might be more help incoming, but I'm not expecting anything.
I'm banking on it, right?
I'm trying to make it work myself, because I really don't want to keep flying on everyone else's bucks except mine, right? I mean, I'm not doing it on purpose, but it still feels very bad every year to get stuff paid.
Just win a tournament, Herf. Just win.
Yeah, I know. I should. I mean, unfortunately, you know, if we kept it like we did in 2019, I just joined those Super Mario Maker tournaments and get like a free, I don't know, $50 or whatever, and do that a couple times. But unfortunately, we wisened up to that. So no more free money for anyone.
That's smart. I mean, I was regretting I didn't do some of that in 2019, but you know, anyway.
Yeah, that's going to be the big energy tournament this year, right? So just joined that one, Herf.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely. I mean, I wasn't just saying, baby. Hey, since you're coming this year, it looks like you're getting your flight paid winning that NMG tournament. I mean,
don't put this on him. Oh man, someone's gonna clip this audio.
I'm just kidding. I hope
when Ari gets 15 blue balls.
To put any pressure on him, but I just think it's funny. Everyone I talk to that's like, hey, there's an NMG turn this year, and I'm like, yeah, I think Aries coming, and they're like, oh, okay. It's like, all right, well, we know what's happening there.
Oh man, that's phenomenal.
It's pretty good.
Speaking of that tournament, shifting over to this plethora of tournaments. We have a whole smorgasbord, I think you could call it, of tourneys that are happening. So the War for Hyrule has kicked off as of last weekend, if you're listening to this as it comes out. And I want to say there was like 50 to 60 people in the first race, and there was, you know, several over the weekend.
Yep.
Talk to Lumaga a little bit, you know, obviously him kind of being the one behind this madness. And he's very excited. You know, this turnout's been great. And the whole thing could be 10 weeks at max, but it could be less than 10 weeks. Just depends on, you know, if one team overruns the other one or not. And last I heard, like, I think it was game one after the first one, Ganon's forces were in the lead. And now a couple games later, Hyrule is now in the lead points wise. So there's like a full map available to look at. I want to say this is all nestled in the Go Mode podcast Discord. The other thing that's cool about this is if you've missed out on it, you can still join. You can join at literally any point. You can wait until the final week and see who has the most points and say, I want to join that team. You could literally be that guy. So if you've missed out the first week and you want to get in now, come on in, join up and pick a side or get assigned a side. I'm not sure which way they're going right now. Just kind of depends on balancing it all out. But looking forward to seeing how this progresses. More group racing. It's people want it. It's like, it's the new hotness. We've come full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
It's really been that way. Yeah. Like we've had just a slew of 1v1s for years. And suddenly like the fact that there's been a turnout of like 60 people for multiple races this weekend is amazing. I'm super excited for it. It was really fun to watch. People have been really excited about it, trying to get these top finishes. All the post-race discussion as well. Like, yeah, that's really what's kind of back to the old days in a way. The nostalgia is really kicking in.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's great. And for us on Ladder, it was like, obviously I had a bit of an idea of what was going on because I saw the discussion Lumaga had with like us hosts and mostly the other moderators and everything. But we kind of developed those ideas independently from each other and with like no talking or anything, and for us it was kind of cool to see when we were planning the announcement that those group races had such a huge turnout and that people were really excited for it and had a ton of fun for it, and that kind of, you know, made us go, oh cool, so hopefully our decision is going to be as well received. I think that's really cool.
I think the team-based setup is really cool, and it really incentivizes people to kind of like huddle up and join together and see who joins what and kind of make it like a friendly rivalry in a way. And I think that's super cool as well. Like Lumaga did a really great job with it.
Absolutely, yeah. Great job setting it up, great job running it. It seems to be a really great hit. I hope it keeps turning out.
He did a great job running week one. Let's see how 9 more go. I'm sure it'll be fine. So yeah, keep your eyes out for those. Those will be ongoing. Moving on, we have the German tournament. Last time we talked to you guys about this, I think we were into top 4. However, it has fully concluded. So without further ado, let's announce some top 4. We want to say congrats to Vinter and Mufte for finishing in top 4. I think they were tied for third based off the start GG. I'm not sure if they did an official or unofficial race for third. So GGs to both of them. Scholzer making it to finals and coming up just short, but getting second place. So GGs to Scholzer, and a big GG to Ravis for winning the whole thing. And from what I saw, he had quite the murderous row to go through.
Absolutely. I've been following the tourney a little bit on the side because there were a lot of friends from Germany playing. But it's been quite a struggle for, like, the German community is super strong. Like, of course, Indeed. Over the course of the years, like, you always see German runners, like, also in league, like, so many teams that are fully compromised from Germans. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, Ravis had to go through, like, Yoshi, Falain, Vinter, and Scholzer. Like, that's crazy 4 rounds to end it with.
And not even that, just there was Swiss before this as well. So having to do well in Swiss also, you know, pretty stressful. You could have some pretty rough pairings.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, also, I have to personally say huge shout outs to Mufte. Like, he's been kind of on and off over the past couple of years, like year and a half. He had a little bit of a break, but he came back really strong, semi-recently. Kind of put his heart and soul back into Link to the Past, and he's been improving so much. He recently started doing a couple NMG runs as well, and he's just putting a lot of time into the game and improving a lot. So yeah, awesome. And making top 4 is a huge, huge accomplishment.
Absolutely. I mean, GG to all these guys, and then Mufte, as you said, if he's been working that hard, absolutely deserved. GG's to Ravis from me. I just think it's funny because the last time I saw that guy was 2019 at the gate for our flight home from SGL. And we sat there for like 6 hours and he learned hovering on a Switch Pro controller. That's how we spent our time
there. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So to see him claim that first place now is something.
Yeah, he's been like running all this time and yeah, staying at the top for such a long time. And he's also a very admirable runner because he still comes up with crazy strats for like rooms you don't think actually have different strats.
Oh yeah.
And he's very innovative and like sometimes just get a random DM, yo, what do you think of this strat? And it's just the craziest stuff that doesn't seem RTA viable. And it's crazy. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a great dude.
Yeah, super happy for him. But moving on, we also had the multi-world tournament. So this one is a little complicated from what I understand. I checked in just to see how things are going. I knew finals were on the horizon. Let's do the easy one first. So the bronze match, that is between Weekend at Saha's and, oh God. All right, Herf, help me out.
Talk me out.
All right, yeah, there we go. And right now, Weekend at Saha's is up 1-0. So I think that's still ongoing as a best of three. Now the finals. So from what I understand, the potatoes, the German potatoes, as it's translated to, Herf and Ari are laughing at me silently. I love it. But the German potatoes versus Pokemon Go mode. As of us recording this, there's a match underway and the potatoes are up 1-0. So apparently there were some issues with game two. There was a change on Archipelago, from what I understand, that had something along the lines of goals instead of goal. That line in the YAML was changed. So therefore, if it can't read that line, if it has goals with an S, it's not going to read it now. Apparently now that would just default to defeat Ganon. It was supposed to be a fast Ganon seed. From what I saw, it looked like Pokemon Go mode had won said race, but I think there was some contention that one team thought it was going to be, you know, a fast Ganon seed and one new because they checked right beforehand, like in like the data, that it was a defeat Ganon. Either way, that match apparently has been thrown out and they're racing right now as we record. So potentially a chance for a game three. Game 2.2, I guess, or 2.1 is happening now. And then we'll see who takes that home. I guess we'll have no time for Tuesday, Dante, to jump in because it's Tuesday when we're recording this, thanks to Dante's busy schedule. but we will maybe update the finals of who has won that and concluding it all, I guess, in the next episode. We shall see. Ari, you want to tell us about NMG League? I know you are that's something near and dear to your heart as far as that event.
Yeah, NMG League, always great, organized by FoxLisk. It's a free week Swiss event where you get to submit a time to qualify, and then you get seeded into groups of eight, depending on your time. So top eight finishes, like starts in the Tower of Hera division, the next top eight in the Desert division, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. This season, there was a huge turnout. We actually managed to get almost four whole groups, which is pretty crazy. World. It's definitely the biggest league we've had in, if not in a long time, it's probably ever. Lots of newer players as well. Lots of like returning players. We actually got Gem in.
oh wow, so you got Gem to play NMG and not
Vanilla preset. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. After he got world record in Vanilla preset, he decided he wanted to slowly grind his way to 124 for NMG. So that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had a lot of close races. We had a lot of good races. Lots of fun, and yeah. The cool part also is that all the top finishers and the higher divisions get to choose a charity that Fox will donate money to. So that's a really cool side benefit to try hard and like get put in some good work for charity. So that's a really cool incentive, and I really appreciate Fox doing this.
Yeah. So just to recap here, we gave you all the finals last time, but they have all concluded. So he's not going to talk about himself, but Ari won over Doomtap in that Tower of Hera division. So claiming another title. Jim won over Tam in the Desert Palace group, and Jaspilly Willy won over Secretly a Sliver in the Eastern Palace group, and Twin takes the win. I like how that one rhymes. Over Concision in the Hyrule Castle division. So GGs to all of these runners. I'm sure there were a lot of, I heard there were several PBs in this event as well.
There were six PBs. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I think one of them had two. One person had two, like in consecutive races.
Oh, wow.
And that's crazy. Well,
they're just getting better then.
Yeah, they're just getting better right before our eyes.
Yeah, and then Jem got one in his first race by like almost, like I think it's 50 seconds or something. And there were a couple of others. So yeah, there were some super hype races. And it was a lot of fun to follow. It's always great. It's almost league again. It'll probably take a couple of months, but yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll see an announcement soon enough. And maybe it'll be any percent NMG again, but maybe something different. I think Fox is always ready to take, exactly. Yeah, we had a Vanilla Precepts, I think it's two seasons ago. Yeah, so maybe it's time for another one.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, GGs to all of you guys. Co-op Tyranny, the brackets have officially started as of this week. That is available really fast. Let's kind of go through this super quick. It looks like Team Humpug, Andy and Humbug. Let's just go with the runners here. Andy and Humbug are in this. They're going to be facing off against Windblown Leaf and Sean Rhapsody. And then right below them, Telethar and Jim will be playing against GFE and P-Train.
That's a spicy one.
That is super spicy for a round one matchup, let me tell you. There's several of these, though. Like, let's look at this next one. Hitsuyan, 1337, and Thalane going to be facing off against Julo Ninja and Wall Kicks. That one's very spicy.
That's a spicy one. I think we could keep on saying this. I think
probably.
I'm looking down. I'm just like, wait, where does it stop? It doesn't stop. I can't believe that there are so many people. Like, it's like so many teams.
It's like saying the ALTTPR League divisions are stacked in the Invitational. Like, it's just it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Next race or next matchup is Radical Sniper and Kaysden versus Muftay and Faker Jr. So we mentioned Muftay earlier showing up here again. Then we have Shady Force and Zelga taking on Structural Mike and Neo Muffins. So that's going to be a good one as well. Brogor and Magno, those two are like inseparable, as we've learned if you've listened to 216, hearing their stories. They are basically the best of friends. So they are here together to try and claim this tournament as well, but they're going to be taking on Winfox and Freddy. Fear and Paramondox, or Ramond, as you may know him. They are together fighting against Scholzer and Yoshi in this first round. And then you have Gamma and GGW versus Jon Snow and Flip Hill. So man, all of these teams, like it's stacked now. And then when you get to round two, it's going to be like, all right, well, this is more stacked.
Yeah, I think after round two, it's going to be hard to pick favorites. Like, out of these teams, like, of course, you have Telefar Jam, Andy Humbug, Gamma GGW, and those are like, okay, I would call those the favorites probably. But even like a small level below that, like the rest is so close, and it's going to be really hard to pick a favorite out of any of these teams.
I'm going to tell you, I want to see, you know, no offense to anybody, I need to see this Andy and Humbug versus Telethar and Jim matchup in the next round. And the reason I need to see that is because I heard there was some mudslinging about who was the best cross keys player between Humbug and Telethar, considering they won the co-op cross keys tournament. And we need that decided. I thought about asking them to do an exhibition and like casting it and being like, I need you guys to settle this now. And it turns out I didn't have to do it. They're going to maybe they're going to meet each other. You can't like write off Leaf and Sean. And also you can't write off GFE and P-Train. But if we look at chalk, we'll call it the paper and what we would expect based on seeding at this stage, then we may get to see it. But I'm kind of rooting for it only because I need to see those two face off, since they were teammates at one point.
Yeah, they're also all great friends, so it's going to be hard to root against any of them if they meet up. But yeah, lots of great teams in this bracket, and yeah, seeing the coming few weeks and seeing how it concludes is going to be super spicy.
Absolutely. Speaking of spicy things, we do have also, we haven't mentioned this before, but the SMC3 Grimace co-op tourney was announced and it has started. So what is Grimace? I mean, if you've ever looked up McDonald's or been there and you've seen a big purple man or creature, that's Grimace. And yes, that's the Grimace we're talking about. I don't know why Solsky named the event this. Supposedly he did it before the Shake meme last year. But anyway, it's back this year. Not the Shake, the tournament. So this year it's in co-op form. It's not hard logic. So let's run through this really fast. It's a randomly seeded bracket. It's going to be best of one double elim. It is co-op info share. So some differences with the co-op info share here for SMZ3. You are allowed, to watch your not your opponent. Wow, your teammate.
That's a new one.
Your teammate stream in League and other ALTTPR sided things. You normally cannot do that, but you can in SMZ3 for this tournament. Also, they are not using average time, and I can't think of the right way to word this. But whoever finishes last in your team or second in your team, that is your team's time. So if you, you know, have like a gigantic lead, you may be like it on your partner. You may want to do some checks that are out of the way just to say, hey, maybe we find another sword. Maybe we find the silvers, something to help them out. Maybe another E-tank or a better beam for Metroid because, you know, Metroid's hard. Don't ask me how I know. but the logic for this or the game settings. So it's normal logic. It is key sanity. So there are, for those of you who may not know much about Super Metroid, apparently Total has made a key sanity for Super Metroid now. It's there's key cards. It's very confusing. It's messed up. That's the nicest way to put it. But we're doing it. Then there's also Fast Ganon, and that's crucial because it's also random gold or random Ganon vulnerability. It is a random entry into GT as far as crystal count. So you may have progression in GT. So this is sort of 4-7 fast. It could be, you know, if those ring a bell. And then you also have random entry into Turian, which is the mother brain area of Super Metroid. So you could be anywhere between, I think, 0 and 4. I think you need at least one, though. But yeah, those are going to be interesting with the boss tokens and shuffle. I'll say that... me and Solsky are probably, I think Solsky's going to try and do it, but we're trying to cast or restream a good bit of these if we can. Those are really exciting. They're very chaotic. You know, it's kind of got like a mystery light aspect to them. And yeah. I'm also in this tournament with Airy, and we had our first race, and boy.
It's chaotic. It's stressful. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun though. Like we've done a couple practices. They've been fun. And like, despite how stressful the race was, like, We were having a blast.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's like we could tell we just don't know what we're doing in Super Metroid as far as doing it well. It's like it just falls completely off a cliff, and we fall so far off that cliff, it's hard to climb back up and like play well on the Link to the Past side mentally.
It's like running around Link to the Past without the quality of item stuff, and it's just so much more punishing in Super Metroid. Like not having high jump boots, not having speed booster, all those things. Like, what do we even do? We're not having bombs. Yeah. Like, what do you do without bombs?
Yeah.
Especially take count of your power bombs. It doesn't work.
Getting softlocked in Super Metroid. So I have to ask, Herf, have you ever touched one of these SMZ, not a Grimace, but a SMZ3 seed at all?
No, I've never played SMZ3. I mean, I've played both games separately plenty of times, but I've never bothered with SMZ3 because I don't think I know the game well enough to even know where all the items are or what I'd need to do to get to some places. Like, I'd need a lot of help to get through the Metroid side of things, I think.
Okay. Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if you'd ever touched it or not, so I had to ask, but that's ongoing. So that tournament's going to be a whole lot of fun. Looking forward to some more matches of that. I think they said they had like 18 teams. I don't have the bracket in front of me, but which is huge. I mean, at 2 apiece, that's over 30 people. I know there's over 30 people because we're at least 16. Big turnout for this, even considering, you know, it's very relaxed, very, you know, crazy settings too. So more tourneys. Oh man, here we go. All right, last two. I promise these are the last two. Thanks for sticking with us, listener. I know your ears are tired of tournaments, but the Kabuki, what is it? Is it the Invitational? Kabukitational? Is that still what it's named? I know the Kabuki Hundo game. That's back. Jesse was talking about that last time he was here as a potential, and it was announced, and signups were like literally like a millisecond long. And
yeah, pretty much.
I think it was like 4 days, and I don't know how many they got. I'm not in the server. I forgot to join it, and I wasn't going to join the tournament, but I forgot to join the server. But the groups are out, from what I understand, and
it's 96 people.
96 people in 4 days. Okay, sure.
It's 24 groups of four, and they actually seeded it based on past tournament results and all that. But yeah, there's some spicy groups in there.
I can imagine.
There's actually very few groups that are like super lopsided. There's at least like two or three favorites in each one. Okay. And some of them are just like, okay, there's four people that can all just finish top two. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had a quick look when it got announced, and there's just a lot of heavy hitters in there as well. There's just the usual names. There's Humbug, Skelly. I think I saw Gamachu in there as well. Telefar's in there. GGW. It's right. All the familiar names, and then a couple new ones too. Of course, like we were talking about him before. Muftei's in there too. He's just joining all the tournaments as well. So. Yeah, we'll probably be seeing a lot. Yeah, we're probably going to be seeing a lot of those races pop up as well. I'm not sure if any like main channel is picking them up, but like probably a couple jank restreams there as well.
Good. We'll be looking forward to seeing those. Also, I saw this pop up in my announcements today, and I don't have much more than this, but the Survivors of Hyrule is coming back for 2024. Signups are going to start April 29th, and the event is going to actually start May 20th. It's going to be a little different than it was then last year. The teams, I think they're going to allow for more teams, and there's going to be a Swiss stage. There's not a full rules doc, but once that's announced and put out there, maybe we'll go through that.
Yeah. The big difference on that one is that last time it was eight people were asked to like put teams together. So there were eight captains, and they all got asked to like ask three others and like do a kind of an introduction tournament to kind of see how everything works and how the whole structure works. And it was a great success. This time it's going to be open, so people are allowed to just submit their teams. So anyone who wants to join gets to join. There's going to be a cap for 32 teams at first, but signups will start.
This is going to be League Season 2 all over again, probably. There's going to be like,
I'm going to snap your
fingers and it's full. Like, that's of course. It. Who can fill out the Google form the fastest?
Yeah. So yeah, the signups will start April 29th. So make sure to put that in your calendar because I think you're going to have to be really fast.
Yeah, it's gonna be wild.
But yeah, it's going to be super exciting. The whole structure from last time was a lot of fun, and it allows for some crazy comebacks. There's going to be lots of fun modes. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. That is going to finally conclude all these tournament things. So now we can jump into GMP community updates. The No Logic Mentor tournament has not concluded, at least according to the challenge. I'm not sure if it actually has, but we do have finals between Duden and Boo This Man. So looking forward to seeing how this shakes out. Malmo's been doing a good job with this event, moving right along. Biweekly seed. So a couple things about this biweekly seed. McMonkey has been hard at work. I've talked to him a bit about this. He gave me a demo of it, but there is a new bot coming. It may not be named Uncle Bot. I hate to tell everyone that, but it might. He told me it may, because out of all the servers he has a bot in, he said Iris was potentially the most unique. So he may just keep it as Uncle Bot, but it's going to be joining multiple servers. It's going to help people run tournaments. It's going to help some other things. It's kind of going to be like, I don't want to use the word jank because it works well, but it's like, another Saha bot, just not as robust maybe right now. But, I like what he's doing with it. So we're going to still be able to do biweekly seeds. If you have the racer role in the Discord, you probably already saw one ping where he was about to take the old bot down, but then he had a family emergency come up, which turns out everything's okay, which is good to hear. But that'll be happening here soon, I think in the next couple of days after release of this episode. But all the data is going to be preserved, so don't worry about your past biweekly seed times. They will be around. I'm going to be around to help him with the transition in the server. Since Temp is not here, and I'm probably just going to get in the way more than I'm going to actually help. So that's par for the course when it comes to the tech side of things. Speaking of this biweekly seed, we did the Kabuki Hundo settings last time. So a big thanks to Jesse for suggesting that. It looks like we did have quite a few people play this, 18 as of recording. So that's pretty nice. Ari, do you have a mode that you would like to throw to the masses here?
Okay. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of ideas. I think we might keep it like semi-spicy, but not too crazy.
Yeah,
I think,
let's not do like a super hot pepper. Like,
No. Let's not do something like full doors, pottery lottery. No, I was thinking of just cross keys with key drop shuffle and maybe just starting pseudo boots.
All right. So cross keys with key drop. So if you're listening and you're like, what's a key drop? We're going to explain this really quick. So key drop is where enemies that normally drop keys, they and could drop
enough keys
and pots. Yes. Thank you. They could drop an item or the pot could have an item, not all pots, just the ones where there are keys. So like you walk into Ganon's tower and you go to the basement, you go left, that pot that you always grab a key from. It could be your moon pearl. You never know. If that's actually what we generate, then I'm going to be kind of shocked. But anyway, that's what you could deal with. But here we go. We're going to have pseudo boots according to Ari. So enjoy that. I might play this. This sounds kind of fun. But we'll get a seed generated and get it loaded one way or another here in the bot for you guys.
One tip for the seed though is that the keys that you get, there are some different max keys that you're going to get. So yeah. GT will have 8 keys instead of 4, for example. And the muffins tracker that he has been plugging recently, that since all the updates have come in, there will be ways to actually put a setting that will show you like how many keys each dungeon has. So be sure to take a look out for that.
I will try to get Ari to get me a tracker or a link so we can post that. I have it somewhere, but that way you guys can all get it. All right, well, we can start wrapping things up. Don't forget to follow everybody on Twitch. That's the nicest way to say everybody, not just us, everybody. If you see a stream, click follow. I'm at twitch.tv/Danty. Ari here is at twitch.tv/ERIROR_PS. Right?
It's not underscore. It's
not underscore. I'm going home. I'm exhausted.
It's okay.
It's not even late here. It's not even late here. The sun's still out behind me. And then there's twitch.tv/herfyderfy. Temp's the underscore. I guess I'm just missing Temp. What do you think, Herf? Like, I missed the underscore.
Yeah, probably. The Temp underscore was always the way to know we're nearing the end of the episode. So we needed an underscore to
make this feel complete.
It's fine. I'll change my Twitch handle for you.
Don't do it. It won't show up in searches. It won't show up in searches, which is a really odd caveat. But also we have a Patreon. If you guys want to sub to that, we would appreciate it. Appreciate everyone who does support. We also have an email, which is gomodepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us anything to talk about on the show, we'll take that into consideration. Or if you have a question for us. Let's do some quick shout outs here before we shut her down for the day. Who wants to go first?
I mean, I can go first. I don't really have a lot to say this time, unfortunately, I guess, but I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone for the first time in 4 years, maybe. I don't know. I haven't played that game in forever. And YouTube started suggesting a Hearthstone streamer to me by the name of Raren. I don't know if anyone knows that guy, but he's pretty funny and makes pretty fun content. And it really kind of gave me the itch to try it again. And I just made like a random deck from a site that I still had that was supposed to have a good win rate. And I started playing and I'm up to gold 2 now or something. It's not great, but, you know, I'm working my way up slowly and it's been pretty fun. So I guess that's my shout out.
Have you raged yet?
Yes, plenty.
That's what card games are for.
Oh, yes. No other game tilts me like Hearthstone does. It's crazy.
Ari, how about you?
I don't know. I've recently been watching a lot of SMW hacks and stuff. So I've been watching Just Cook because he's from Australia. So he starts streaming whenever it's my morning. It's perfect to wake up to. And yeah, like kind of made me want to play a couple SMW hacks as well. So I've just been kind of casually doing them on the side, but it's been great.
Nice. Cool. Nice. I've been, besides casting races, I've just been working and trying to play dance games occasionally. So nothing fancy on my end. I did get out of town, got to see Mr. Angry Pants again, went to a NASCAR race up in his area, but that was a good time, but nothing too crazy. So that's it. I'm shouting out life. So there you go.
Bless life.
Bless. If you know, it may be boring for me sometimes, you know, but at least I'm not dead. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, I think.
I'm glad to hear that. Would have been a weird hour otherwise.
Well, speaking of dead, this episode is now probably officially dead. We're at the very end of it. So thank you guys for listening on behalf of Herpy Durfy and Airy. Wait, I have to do this. Airy, thank you for coming on as a guest host. We do really appreciate your time, dude. I hope you had fun.
Yeah, no, this was a great time. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it's been fun catching up on all the tournaments and stuff. And well, with you too.
Yeah.
Always a good time.
Well, now we can cue the music back up to finish this episode. But anyway, now it's time. On behalf of them, thanks for listening, and we're going to go ahead and mirror out or something.